At the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, we have the mitzvah of Keber Yisrael. In Chumash Devarim, we have a pasuk that says, "Kiyir b'yish chet nishpat moves v'humas." If someone was from the Harugi Bezin, who was Nigma Dina Lamisa, and he's put to death by the Bezin, then it says, "V'salisa salaitz." The salin nivla salaitz. You have to bury the person. Kal tigber edav yamahu. You have to bury the person the same day that he dies. So the Gemara points out the Chumash only writes explicitly the mitzvah kfura by Harugi Bezin. Never says that there's a chiv kfura by a normal person who dies at home. So the Gemara has two brises in Sanhedrin, in the middle of Sanhedrin. How do you know that there's a mitzvah kfura even by non-Harugi Bezin? So the two brises are practically word for word identical. The Lechem Mishnah points out it's very strange that the Gemara quotes one brise after the other, practically word for word identical. The only slight shinui between the two is, the Lechem Mishnah points out, that in the one brise it says, Minayin l'shar meisim, Talmaloy, makabatik berenu, akeif aloshin, and we darshan l'shan is kfulim, l'dibar terk l'shan b'ni odom. So we darshan that kavatik bren afilu meis afilu non harugi bez. The other brisa has everything exactly the same, but it says remez lekvura menatar minayin. So the Mishlah Melech says it would appear. The Lechem Mishnah points out on the bottom of the Rambam. The Rambam has an hilchas avil. He has all the dinim of kvura. So he says it would appear that that's the whole difference between the two brises. That remez usually means that it's the rabbanon. That's what the Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvos. Whenever the Gemara says remez, usually implies that it's only a din with the Rabbanan and Asmachta. The Ramban writes once in a while you have a statement to the Gemara Remez and it's clearly a din deraisa, and the first daf in Makkah Remez leidim zavimim shalokim in ator minayim. And the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. So that says shalokim in ator minayim. That says it's minator. So there, even though it says Remez, it's a real din deraisa. And usually when it says Remez, it's a din derabban. So the Lechem Mishnah thinks that this is a machlokes satanoim between the two brises where the kvura, the Shar Mason, other than Harugi Bezin, is deraisa derabbanan, and the Rambam paskins that it's deraisa. Gemara has an ibaya in Sanhedrin, and that sugya of kvura is kvura out of mishum kavod achayim, or is mishum kavod hameisim? Out of respect for the mace, you should bury him, or is it kavod for mankind? L'may nafkemina, what if the man leaves instructions before he dies? Al tikburuni, don't bury me. So if he says, if it's Mishum Kavod HaMeisim, he says he's Meichel on the Kavod, doesn't want, so you're not Mechuyif to bury him. But if it's Mishum Kavod HaChaim, then you have to bury him anyway, because he's not the Balabos. So the Rambam writes, not like either Tzad. The Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah to bury people, a mitzvah in HaTorah, and even if he says, I'll take Beruni, you don't listen to him, because it's a mitzvah in HaTorah. That's not like either Tzad in the Gemara, it's a mitzvah in HaTorah. So that's what the Lechem Mishnah writes. The whole Gemara is Ibaya, whether kvura is mishum kavod hameis or kavod achayim, is within the opinion that kvura is only midirabbanan. Why did they institute it midirabbanan? Is it this reason or that reason? Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. The Rama paskens that it's a mitzvah min haTorah. Kvura b'shar meisim is a mitzvah min haTorah, and therefore it doesn't matter what the reason is, because lo yidashin a time of the krua. That's that Lechem Mishnah. That's what we assume. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about burying in a mausoleum. Mausoleum, they bury above the ground, there's no kvura bekarka, they bury in vaults. So he says, we assume that that's a bitla mitzvah. We assume like the Rambam, the Lechem Mishnah says his two opinions in the Tanoim, we assume like the Rambam that it's a mitzvah in a Torah, kvura bekarka, and if you bury in a vault, you're not yotzei the din. Unless they have like a ma'orah, and Eretz Yisrael used to have artificial ma'orahs that were man-made, and they would have a lot of offer around them. It would be above the ground level, but they would have a lot of offer there. So then that's also called kvura bekarka. So we assume that not only by Harugi Bezdin is there a mitzvah kvura, there's a mitzvah minatar kvura b'shar meisim as well, but there's still a difference. There's still a difference, because the halacha says, ein kovin tzadik etzel rosha, and ein kovin rosha chomer etzel rosha kal. That's part of the din deraisa. Also, the Gemara learns that from Psukim and Sefer Melochim, and the Mishnah says that there was there were shtei bati kvaris. There were two cemeteries for the harugi bezin, one for the niskalim and israfim, one for the neharogim and achnokim. So the oilam, the niskalim and israfim should not be buried together. Which is mochom skila sreifa, or sreifa skila, and then herik chenek or chenek herik. They knew that these two were more chomer than these two because there were two cemeteries separate. One cemetery for Niskolim and Esrof, and one for Nechnokim and Neharogim. But which of the two is more chomer? That's a machlekes Hatanaim and Mainav Kemina. So the Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, Mishnah is Chayb Shtei Mises, Nid Machamura. First, the two Averis, and they made a Gemara Din for both Averis. So which Einish do you give? You give him the more chomer Dikainis. So which is the more chomer? So if you bury together in Niskolim and Esrofim, either these Bali Avera did a greater Avera, they did a greater Avera. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, Hilchas HaGmiri Lo Halacha L'Moshe Messina, that you bury them all in one cemetery. So you see that there's a separate din, the Araisa for Gvura for the Harugi Bezin. There's another Harchacha that it's a separate din, that the Gemara learns out that Evan Sheniskal Boa and the Eid Shenitla Olov, by Niskolim, you have to be Tolah them Al Ha'eid. So you have to bury the wood from the tree also next to the one to the Harugi Bezin, or the Sayif with which we gave Messiah, or the Suda with which we gave Mechenek. So the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, then there I say you have to bury that also Imo. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Imo? With the body, the Gemara says, Imo bitfusosu, terch dal ramas. So the simple reading in the Gemara is that that's a din deraisa. Dal ramas is called tfusas hakever. You have to bury the Suda shenechnekba, and the Sayif shenerekba, and so on. The H and Nitlal, you have to bury with them. And you have to bury dafke two different cemeteries, one for Niskolim and Israfim, one for Nachnokim and the Harogim. So you see that there's a separate Chiyuv Kvura on the Harugi Bezin, separate from the regular Mason. And we assume that by regular Mason also it's a Din Deraisa. Yeah.
Kvura B'Karka is a, wasn't commonly considered Kvura B'Karka, like the Neres Yisrael, they don't.
The Achrayim talk about it. The Achrayim say it is Kvura B'Karka. Some are Machmer, you should drill holes on the bottom board. Some here in America, it's against the law, but some Chevra Kaddish is violated anyway. So when they lower the body, so they pull out the bottom piece of wood, so the body is resting on the ground. But the Mikra Din, the Poskim say, the Pischei Tshuva quotes that discussion. We assume even if the fellow is buried in a wooden coffin, it's also considered Kvura B'Karka. The Yerushalmi talks, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a Yerushalmi that talks about if a person was once buried in one location, then you want to move the body to another location. So there's a din that's called Likat Atzama. So you have to observe Avelis all over again if the body is still intact. So the Yerushalmi distinguishes what kind of a coffin was he buried in the first time. The Yerushalmi says if he was buried in a wooden coffin, so wood is gidule karka. But if he was buried in a metal coffin, so metal is karka. So even when you're transporting the body from one location to the other, he's still covered by karka. You're not supposed to leave a metal coffin on top of the ground like that. You have to bury the metal coffin in the ground. But the Rishon LeShulchan Aruch talks about that. Now the meaning is that you bury with wooden coffins. You don't bury in metal. That's based on a medrash on the pasuk by Yischabeh Adam Etorch Eitz Agon. It says in Parshas Bereishis that after Adam Rishon sinned with the Eitz Adas, and he heard Kol Hashem rustling in Gan Eden, so it says that he hid Etorch Eitz Agon. He was hiding from the Rabban Shalom, whatever that means. So the medrash has on that by Yischabeh Adam Etorch Eitz Agon. When a person dies, you should bury him in a wooden coffin. That's a minik. But Mikra Din, you're permitted to bury in a metal coffin also. So the Yerushalmi has a brisa that says that if you have a body that the person died and he was buried in a metal coffin, and then you're moving the coffin from one location to a different location, so then you don't have to observe Avelis again. It doesn't have a din of Likat Tatzamis. He's covered by karka the whole time. As opposed to a wooden coffin, the wood is a gidule karka. So the Yerushalmi talks about metal coffins, wooden coffins. See in the Shulchan Aruch that it's okay.
Technically, if you bury the metal coffin in mausoleum, is it not a bitul mitzvah?
It would be a bitul mitzvah. You have to take the metal coffin and bury it in the ground. Shaila is, how deep in the ground does it have to be? It has to really be 6 feet under. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He proves from the Shulchan Aruch that 3 tefachim is enough. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that Gemara. It's a Gemara like that. If the cemetery is full and you want to bury Mesim on top of Mesim who are there already, so you have to have 6 Tvachim of Ofer in between each Mace. There are cities in Europe where they have the whole cemetery was all used up. So they buried on top of those Mesim, then they have 3 layers of Mesim. So you have to have 6 Tvachim of Ofer in between. So apparently, Rav Moshe says, in one kever next to another kever, you have to have 6 tvachim of offer. Apparently, kvura bekarka means you need 3 tvachim of offer to the right, to the left, on top and on bottom. In all directions, you need 3 tvachim of offer. So that's what Rav Moshe says. Sometimes the ground of the cemetery area is swampy, and it's going to be a bizayin ames to bury him in the middle of mud. So you want to bury higher up where there's no water. Lower down is closer to a lake or something, closer to a river. So Moshe has a tshuva, what's the minimum depth that you have to have? So he says you have to have a minimum of 3 tvachim ofer on top of the mace. Otherwise, you have a violation of kfura bekar. So you got to have ofer. But Yerushalmi says that if you're moving the body from one location to the other and he's still in the metal coffin, so one brisa holds that there's no din of avelus then, because he's still covered by karka, partially covered by karka. The Gemara asks there in Sanhedrin when they're discussing how do you know that there's a din of kfura b'shar mesam other than harugi bezdin. So the Gemara asks, why not learn out from this parsha the fact that the Chumash records the story that Avraham Avinu buried his wife is not an indication that that's the halacha. Otherwise, why does the Chumash record it? So the Gemara says, no, maybe that was the minig. Maybe the Chumash just records that he followed the minig. So why is that important to mention that he followed the minig? So the Achrenim write that whatever the minig, there's a din of Kavan HaMesim. We learn out from the Pasuk, Lo Yitamo, in Parshas Emor, a kohen is not permitted to be mitame to Mesim unless it's one of the Zayin Krovim, Lachos HaPsulo Shelohoi Salish, Lo Yitamo. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether Lo Yitamo is a chayva, Loi Tam is a Rishus. Rabbi Shmuel says Loi Tam is a Rishus. If he wants to, he may attend the funeral. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have. The kohen doesn't have to attend the funeral of the Zayin Krovim. And we don't accept Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Akiva that Loi Tam is a Chayva. That if the kohen doesn't want to be Mitame knows the Bal Korcha. You force him to. The Gemara records in the end of Zohar and Daf Kuf that this was a Machloikas. There's man abayis. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel had this argument after the Churban abayis. This was every generation after generation, this machlekes was going on. Whether lo yitama is a rishus or a chayva, so we paskan that it's a chayva. So that pasuk lo yitama chayva, that's the mocker for the din. That's what it says in brachas on afchav. That is the source of the institution of kavod abrius. The pasuk speaks about kavod hamesim, but we assume kavod achaim is a kavod chaimer from kavod hamesim. But the original pasuk talks about kavod hamesim. So what is required mitam kavan ha-mesim? What do you have to? What type of respect do you have to show the mesim? So that's what the achrenim say. Whatever is the minik, kavod is always. But whatever is the minik is considered the kavod. So kavan ha-mesim requires that you should do whatever the minik ha-mokim is. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe Avraham Avinu, the Chumash is recording that Avraham Avinu buried his wife. Yeah. Maybe because that was the meaning, maybe the din doesn't really require kvura b'shar mesim, only by haruge bezin. But since that was the minig amokim, so that's required mitam ikar adin, mitam kovet ames. Whatever the minig is, yimuchiv to do mishum kovet. That's what the Chochmas Adam writes, that all of the minhagim of the Chevek Kadisha has minhagim to wash the body and to do sometimes to be toivel in a mikveh. And to do a tara and pour buckets of water, whatever the menhagim are, to wash the hair with egg yolks, whatever the menhagim are, so you have to do it mitam kavod ames. And if the perception changes, and if the meaning in Europe, they used to rub in raw eggs in the hair. In America, I think most of the Chevek Kadishas no longer do it. So if the meaning changes, and the meaning changes, not halacha l'moshe m'sina, whatever the meaning is, that's what you should do mishum kavod ames. So we see from there's an interesting din in Sanhedrin that one who was put to death by the Bezin by Saif, so you have to bury the Saif Turch Dal Ramas. Imo b'tvusosai. Tvusosai is Turch Dal Ramas. And one who was put to death by Chenek, so you have to put the Sudush and Echnek by Turch Dal Ramas. I see that there's a din deraisa that Dal Ramas is considered Tvusos Hameis. So that's what the Achrenim have, this idea. How much of a harchoka do you need between a Jewish cemetery and a non-Jewish cemetery? You have to have a separate Jewish cemetery So how much of a hachaka do you need? So they say that you need a hachaka of eight amas, because you shouldn't have interlocking tfusas hakever. So the dalan amas around the Jewish body is called tfusas hakever of the Jew. Dalan amas around the goyish body is tfusas hakever of the goy. So you shouldn't have interlocking. So you need the hachaka of ches amas. One of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael came up with an einfah, which I thought was 100% incorrect. He said that the reason why you need dalan amas is because there's a gemara in towards the end of Saita that they made exerim in the rabbanim, that if a person walks within dalan amas of a mace, he's already tummy, because they wanted to prevent kohanim from coming so close to the mace. If you lean on top of the mace, it's already tumas ohel. We were talking yesterday. There are three kinds of ohel. One is ohel hamshocha. I'm over here and the mace is over there. We're both under the same ohel. Then you have another two kinds of ohel that are mochama. Ohel if I'm mahil on the mace, so they're carrying the mace on top of me. So that's a mochama dike form of that's a mochama dike form of ohel. So if the kohen will come so close to the mace, he may wave his hand on top of the coffin. He won't realize that he's just been tamed to the mace, betumas ohel. So they made exerim in the rabban. You're not allowed to even go within dalat amas to the mace. If you dalat amas within where the mace is, you're ready tamei mid the rabban. So this Talmud Chacham passed away already. So he had a suggestion that that's only by mace Yisrael, which are matami ba'ohel. The mace Yakim are not matami ba'ohel. So the whole chashash was that you may stretch out the koi, may stretch his hand out above the mace, and it'll become tamei to masohel without realizing it. But by Mesei Akim, there is no Tumas soil. So he thought that therefore there's no din of Dalan Amas by Mesei Akim. So there shouldn't be a need for Hachok Eches Amas. All you need is Dalan Amas. The Jewish mace has a Tfusas HaKever of Dalan Amas Medirabonon, because this din, the Dalan Amas of Ivla Mace, is Metame. The Goyish mace doesn't have that din. Either Achreinim talk about Ches Amas, Hachok Eches Amas. So he says, no. That talks about Hachok, a Jew converted to Christianity. And he's buried. So you're not allowed to bury a Jew next to a tzaddik, next to a Russia. So here the mummer is Jewish. So the mummer who is dead is Metami Bal. So he has Dalan Amas Vivo. So that's what the Achrayim talk about. You need Achok Eches Amas between a tzaddik and a Russia, between a Meshumid and a Jew. But between a Jew and a Nochri, there's only need for Ches Amas Achok. I thought the Pashtus is that it's not right. I thought the din is called the Tikkun Rabbani came to Raisa Tikkun. The institution that they made, that Dalat Amas Saviv HaMeis, is Metamei, that Din Midirabbanon, Shem Yael Al HaMeis, where they get the Shir Dalat Amas? I thought they got the Shir from, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun. This is a Din Deraisa, the Dalat Amas around the Meis is Tfusas HaKever, but they get to the Din, the Sudash and Nechnak boy, and the Saib Shenerek boy has to be buried Imo B'Tfusasoi. So I thought that Dalat Amas Saviv HaMeis is Tfusas HaKever, that's a din deraisa. The din of Tuma, Terech Dalat Amas, that's a din Medirabbanan. But Dalat Amas Saviv HaMeis is Tfusas HaKever by a non-Jew as well. If you're going to say the whole din that you need, Archok is Dalat Amas, Eches Amas, the whole thing is only Medirabbanan. So on the level of deraisa, what is the din? You're not allowed to bury a goy next to a Jew? Mamish, if the bodies are touching, if you have a mashu of a separation so they're not near each other, what is the Shir Archokah? Three tvachim, six tvachim. What's the shir hachoka? I thought that's the shir min haTorah, that you shouldn't have interlocking tfusas hakever. I thought the Dalat Amas was a din deraisa. I didn't think he was right. What is the yisoid of the din of kvura? We assume that the mitzvah of kvura only applies to Jewish bodies. The pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, that pasuk, Kavutik Barana Bayamahu Kikilos Elakim Talui. So there's a question there, Rashi and the Ramban, how do you translate Kilalas Elakim Talui? That man is created B'Tzelem Elakim, so it's a bizoyan to the Tzelem Elakim to leave him hanging up. The Sol and the Vlas Al Ha'etz, when you hang him up, Kolan Niskolam Nitlim, or Megadif and Ogav, the Zora Nitlim, Achlegis Satanaim, who gets Taliya? So Kilalas Elakim means all human beings are created B'Tzelem Elakim, so the Chumash says that there's a din of Kvura by Mesei Akum also. So the Ramban says, no, it's against the Gemara. The Chi of Kvur is only by Yisraelim. Kilas Elikim is because B'nai Yisrael Abarim Lamakim, not because all of mankind are Tzelem Elikim. In Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, V'loi Setami Esad Moscha. So the Ramban writes, there's a Pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that says when they killed the Lamed Aleph and Lochim, so they hung them up. unzavarfen apachan on all the goyim. All the goyim should see that we killed their kings and we were mavazan them after they were dead. And then the pasuk says in Yoshua that they buried them the same day to fulfill the pasuk that says in Chumash, kavatik bereina b'yamahu. So the Ramban says, what do you mean to fulfill the pasuk that says in Chumash, the mitzvah of kvura and Chumash is only by Jewish dead bodies, not by non-Jewish. So the Ramban has a chiddush in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to leave non-Jewish bodies either because of the last phrase in the pasuk. In Chutz Laaretz, there's no inyan of lo yisatami esad moscha. So just a question of chi of kvura. So the mitzvah of kvura, we assume, is only on a Jewish body, not on a non-Jewish body. In Eretz Yisrael, there's an added inyan of lo yisatami esad moscha. That's what Rabbi Chalap's father, Zechon Lebracha, writes in his Sefer. He raises an issue. How can you permit them to have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael? All the medical schools have cadavers sitting around all year long. So he says, according to the Ramban, you're in violation, according to the Pasuk in Yeshua, you're in violation of this Pasuk in Chumash, Lo Yisatami Esad Moscha. Even Meisei Yakam, Atunim Kvur in Eretz Yisrael, because of Lo Yisatami Esad Moscha. It's a problem. It's a problem. What is the basis of this din that the Chi of Kvur is only on Meisei Yisrael, not on Meisei Yakam, Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yisatami Esad Moscha? Why should they assume that the mitzvah of Kvur is only on Meisei Yisrael? So, perhaps the pshat is the following. The Gemara in Megillah draws a distinction between Tashmishei Kedusha as opposed to Tashmishei Mitzvah. If you have Tashmishei Kedusha, the Gemara says Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, or the Mentalev is Sefer Torah, or the Tefillin Zekel, or the so on, anything that's Meshamish, Dvarim Shebikdusha. So, even if it gets ruined and you can't fix it, you can't use it anymore, the din is Tashmishei Kedusha on Nignozim. You have to put it in Shemus, you have to bury it. You're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. As opposed to Tashmishei Mitzvah, let's say you have an old shofar that cracked and it's broken, you can't use it. You have an old sukkah that fell apart and no one wants to use it anymore. You have an old esrig. How long are you going to keep the esrig in the house? It dried out already. What are you going to do with it? Lulav, Hadassim, Arav. So the Gemara says, Nizrokim, strictly speaking, after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, the Tashmishei Mitzvah on Nizrokim, but the Tashmishei Kedusha, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up and it can never be used again for a mitzvah, the din is at Nignozim, you have to put it in Shemus. How do you decide what belongs under the category of Tashmishei Kedusha, what belongs under the category of Tashmishei Mitzvah? How do the Tanoim know that Tzitzis and Shofar and Lulav, all of these things are just Tashmishei Mitzvah? And they decided that Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah are Tashmishei Kedusha. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Nefesh HaChayim that he thinks that it depends on Divrei Torah. If you have Divrei Torah written, then it has Kedusha. So Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah have Kedusha. And in fact, the degree of Kedusha, the level of Kedusha, corresponds to how much Divrei Torah you have written. A Mezuzah only has Shema V'Yoyim Shemaya. And Tefillin have Dalet Parshiyos, Kadesh HaYikav Yachas Shema V'Yoyim Shemaya. So Tefillin have more Kedusha than Mezuzah. And Tefillin Shal Rosh have more Kedusha than Tefillin Shal Yad, the Gemara says. You're permitted to convert on Tefillin Shal Yad into Tefillin Shal Rosh, but not the reverse, because Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marin. So why did Tefillin Shal Rosh have slightly more Kedusha than Tefillin Shal Yad? Because it has an extra shin on the outside of the bias. Our meaning is we put a shin on both sides, two shins. The Gemara sounds like there's only one shin. So you have one letter more. It's already a little more divitur. Then the Rambam says in Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than all the Tefillin because it has all those Dalet Parshiyos plus many more Parshiyos. The Rambam sounds like he says in the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah that if you'll find the original Aseres HaDibros, the Luchas HaBris, so a plain Sefer Torah, it'll be priceless. The original author's edition, author's copy, the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved the Aseres HaDibros, it'll be priceless. But a Sefer Torah that a Sefer wrote today will have more Kedusha than the Aseres HaDibros. Why? The Rambam says, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDibros plus more Parshiyos. The Kedusha of Torah Shebichtav depends on how much Divrei Torah you have written there. So, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah have the status of Gufei Kedusha. The Mentale of the Sefer Torah and the Eitz Chaim and so on, and cardboard boxes, and whatever you have, the Zekel, the Tefillin Zekel, that's Tashmishei Kedusha. So, the Gemara tells us, and there's an Agarata in Maseches Nida, that when a Jewish baby is about to be born, so the Malach teaches the baby Kola Terakula inside the mother's womb. Then the Malach makes him forget. But it would appear, so why does the Malach teach him in the first place, going to make him forget? But it would appear that he doesn't forget everything completely. it's still Rishuma Nika, something remains. Otherwise, it was an act of futility to teach him Kala Torah Kula before he was born. So the fact that the Malach teaches Kala Torah Kula, this endows every Jewish soul with the status of Kedusha, because there's Dibrei Torah there. The Nochrim calls Mal that they're alive, they are obligated to observe mitzvahs, and they, if they're fine goyim, so they observe the Sheva mitzvahs v'nenoich, so their body has the status of a Tashmishe mitzvah. So there's a din of Kavod Abrius while a person is alive. He's a Nochri, is a Tzelem Elokim, and he's a Tashmishe mitzvah b'zman mitzvahsam, so we respect him if he observes the Sheva mitzvahs v'nenoich. But after he dies, it's a Tashmishe mitzvah l'achazman mitzvahsam. It's already after Sukkot, so the Yesrig is no longer hooked to the mitzvah side. Masheni came the Jewish body, because the Malach teaches the baby Kala Torah Kula, even if the person doesn't learn a word, if the person grows up and he learns Torah, so he learned on his own, you don't have to come on to the Malach teaching. But even if the person is totally non-observed and never learns a word of Torah after he grows up, still we assume the Malach taught him Kala Torah Kula, the boys and the girls, we assume the Malach taught him Kala Torah Kula, and that's the basis of the Kedusha Yisrael. All in Yoni Kedusha rest on the assumption that there are Divrei Torah there. That's Rav Soloveitchik spoke about what's the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash based on. Why the Apsukim written on all the walls in the Beis HaMikdash? So he said, no, the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is that you have the Oren Abris with the Luchas there. That's why the Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEidus, because it has the Luchas HaEidus there. And the Beis HaMikdash also, they have to have the Luchas. Ayin the Bayisheni, the Luchas were not there. But the Rambam in the first page in Hilchas Beis HaBchira quotes that as adopted that opinion in the Gemara in Yuma, that during the whole period of the Bayis Sheni, the Luchas were in the basement in the special vault that Shlomo HaMelech, when he first built the Beis HaMikdash, he designated a special vault to house the Luchas when the time will come to remove them from upstairs to downstairs. So the Gemara in Yuma has different opinions. Where were the Luchas the whole period of the Bayis Sheni? Sounds like it's a historical machlaikis. What does the Rambam have to take a stand in the Mishnah Torah on a historical machlaikis? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, apparently the Rambam felt that this was a matter of halacha. So he felt halacha, you have to, if you wouldn't have luchas in the basement, the Bayis Sheni wouldn't have kedushas based on Migdash. Kedusha, all in Yoni Kedusha have to flow from the fact that you have Divrei Torah. So why is it kedushas based on Knesses? So he said, you look in the Rambam, it would appear that Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is only if there's a Mokam Yuchad for a Sefer Torah. If you have many people having their businesses, they have a special room where they daven Mincha Ma'ariv, but they haven't a Sefer Torah. If there's a Tainus and they want a lane, so they'll bring a Sefer Torah from another place. They don't have a Sefer Torah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, from the Rambam, it would appear, from the Rambam Hilchas Tefillah, when he talks about Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, it would appear that a Beis HaKnesses only has the status of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses if it has a Mokam Miyuchad for a Sefer Torah. What's Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael? That's what Rav Soloveitchik spoke about. What's Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael? We have Psukim written on the ground. Where does the Kedusha stem from? So I remember this was part of a Yahrzeit Rosh. He used to give a big major shir on his father's Yahrzeit on Gimel Shvat every year. So he said, who conquered Eretz Yisrael? The Kedusha was accomplished in the days of Yishuv Benun by Kibush V'Chiluk. There was Sheva Shekavshu and Sheva Shechilku, and the Chalukas Arts was the Gemar of the Kibush. So who conquered Eretz Yisrael? Everybody screamed out, the Israeli army under Yishuv Benun. So he said, no, the Oren Abris. It says in Sefer Yishuv, the Oren Abris was going in front of the army and it mowed down all the enemies and knocked them all down. So who did the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael? The Oren Abris with the Luchas, with the Divrei Torah. So he says the Mikadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the Torah. So that's why Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Then he said, but we assume there's a Machlekes, so we assume La Locha, Kedusha Rishayna was Loikich Allah Zalava. Kedusha Rishayna of Eretz Yisrael was Batla. So in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they had to renew the whole Kedusha, Kedusha Shnia. Kedusha Shnia, there was no Kibush. So what was the Mikadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around? That's Rav Soloveitchik made a suggestion, maybe the fact that there were Mekabel Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says that on the occasion of the Nes Purim, Kima v'kiblu kima mashi kiblu kvar. And the Medrash Tanchum explains on Parshas Noyach that they said Nasa v'nishma on the occasion of Maimon Hasina. The thing they were hesitant about was they didn't want to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. Because you look in the Mishnah Brura, every Sivkot and every Bir Halacha, every Sharatina, it's very complicated. So they didn't want such complicated. They can observe the Chumash, what it says in the Chumash. The laws of Shabbos and Taras HaMishpacha, you read the Chumash, not so difficult. When you get to the Shulchan Aruch already, with all the details of the Torah Shemal Peh, it's very complicated. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Kashik Yishal Kino, Rishafeh, Rishveyei, shall have his call. The difficulty in learning Torah and observing the mitzvahs, that's on the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebichzav is not that difficult. Torah Shebal Peh is very hard. So that's why they didn't want to accept it. So that was Kof Aleim Harkigigas, originally on the Torah Shebal Peh. And then Kima V'Kiblu. That's according to the tradition of the Gemara, the story of Purim occurred soon before the Binyan Bayisheni. The Goyish historians keep on switching their minds back and forth. Every 50 years, they go back and they go forth, whether the story of Purim occurred in the middle of Bayisheni or before the Bayisheni. But according to all the Midrashim and all the Gemaras, Gemara assumes that the Nes Purim occurred right soon before the Binyan Bayisheni. So that's when they were mekabel all over again the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that maybe the Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh, that they accepted, maybe that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. First time around, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Oren Abris, the Torah Shebichzav. And the second time around, maybe the fact that Kimu V'Kiblu, the Kabbalah of the Torah Shebal Peh. And then he thought that maybe that explains, maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla, was lent itself to destruction. And maybe because the Kedusha Shniyah was Torah Shebal Peh, maybe there's some link between the fact that the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was the Torah Shebal Peh, maybe that's linked to the fact that the Kedusha Shniyah was Lai Batla. Okay, that's a question. So this may be the explanation. Why is it that the Ramban explains Shulchan Aruch and says that the mitzvah kvura is only on a Jewish body, not on a non-Jewish body, because of Barim Lamokim as opposed to Tzelem Alakim? Why? No, maybe it's because the Jewish body has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, because the Malach teaches the baby Kala Torah Kula, and even after the person dies, he can't use the Torah, he can't do any mitzvahs. That's Halacha Tashmishi Kedusha on Nignozim. You have to show kavod, as opposed to a goyisha body where they're not taught kol haTorah kula, so their body perhaps has a status of tashmish mitzvah. So tashmish mitzvah lachas ma mitzvosam on Nizrokim. There's no din that they should be nignozim. Yeah, you're not allowed to. A lot of people don't realize they leave instructions. They want their body burnt after they die. So that's not the Kiyama Mitzvah. The Kiyama Mitzvah is only to be Koiva Bekarka, the body. Once you burn the body to ashes, so there's no longer a mitzvah of Kvura. In Europe, they used to assume that if a person leaves instructions that he wants to be cremated, so it's he's implying that he doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, and therefore he's an apikoros, and therefore you don't sit Shiva. In America, a lot of times, the people didn't leave any instructions they want to be cremated. The children decided they want to cremate the parents. So just because there was a cremation doesn't necessarily mean the parents left instructions. Even if the parents did leave instructions, maybe they just never thought about it. In Europe, everybody knew that you don't cremate a body, and only the apikursim would agree to cremate a body, and that was an indication it doesn't believe in Ikari Ha'amuna. America is not necessarily so.
Luckily, is it who are in the ashes? They cremate?
Alpi Pashtas there isn't. That's what the Poskim say. Alpi Pashtas is a Mishnah in Aholos where there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, where the Eifer Hasrufim, where the ashes from a cremated body, are they Metame or not? So we Poskim, they're not Metame. Eifer Hasrufim is not Metame. So Rav Chaim Moshe said, if it's not Metame, it means that it's not called a mace. Not called a mace. So there's no mitzvah kvura. Rabbi Yankev Emden has a lot of funny tshuvas, and one of his highly questionable tshuvas is that a cremated body, even though it's not mitami, but a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with it. If it's not mitami, why is the kohen not allowed to come in contact? So that per se is not so crazy. You can say the kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if it's not mitami him. There are mekoyres for that. But Rav Chaim Moshe Tainis, but it still doesn't make any sense. The reason why the cremated body, the ashes, are not mitami, because it doesn't have a shein mace on it. It doesn't have a shein mace. So what do you mean the kohen is coming in contact with a mace? The cremated ashes don't have the status of a mace. Pashtus is an ad osabano. I don't know what's the din of Hanigbarim Afran Osir. Hanigbarim Afran Osir should be osabano. Because it started off as a mace osabano. Maybe they are. Maybe that's Hanigbarim Afran Osir. Could be.
Is there anything like an aver that's detached from a mace?
Aver detached from a mace or from a chai? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush, which is against the Nodi Bihud and all the classical poskim. Classical poskim quoted by the Pesach Tshuva on Yerideya, and at the end of Yerideya, assume that if they had to amputate an organ from a person, perhaps the thing is you should bury it mishum michshol kohanim. A kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a tumas mace, and even manachai is metame like a mace. So if you're going to leave the guy's brain, Einstein's brain, you're going to leave in the house, or you're going to leave a leg or an arm of a mace, a kohen can't enter the house. A kohen is not allowed to be metame to his own organ. Let's say the kohen cut off his finger and he's going to leave it in the house. The kohen is not allowed to be metame to his own aver. That's a mace. So that's how the classical poskim say. So let's say they do a surgery in a hospital, they cut off a limb, and they're going to destroy it. They're going to burn it. They're going to bury it in a city's secular cemetery. So the poskim say mikaredin is not ton kvur. It's just mishum michshol lekahanim. So let the government take care of it. So Moshe Feinstein has a shtikel Torah. He has a raya from a Gemara that it's ton kvur. So he disagrees with those poskim. He thinks that it's ton kvur. So they told us that he was so excited about his raya from the Gemara and Saita Dav Gimel. That's why he insisted that the Mikra din it's Tom Kvur, you need Kebe Yisrael. The Achranim already deal with that Gemara. They explain why they already were aware of that possible Raya from the Gemara, and they deal with it. They say that it was only a Havamin in the Gemara, the Maskana is Nitra. There's a Shadu where the Avim and Ameis, let's say you have a dead body, and then somehow a limb of the dead body was detached. Is there a Chiv Kvur on that limb? So the Menchas Chinuch raises the possibility, maybe there's only a Mitzvah Kvura and Rosh HaVeruba that's attached together. If you have an Avim and a Mace, maybe it's not Ton Kvur. The minig is that they bury the whole Mace, even if, let's say, the Mace was bleeding. So the Dam, let's say a person bleeds to death. So the Dam that comes out while he's alive, that's Dam and Achai, that's not Mitame, and it's not Ton Kvura. The Dam that comes out after he dies, always going to be mixed in together. Gemara calls it Dam Tevusa. Dam Tavus says, Dam and Achai, Dam and Ameis mixed in together when a person bleeds to death. So it's usually assumed that the Dam that comes out, Dam and Ameis, is Ton Kvura. So usually they'll take a Shmata and they'll absorb all the Dam and they'll bury the Shmata in the Orem with the Mace when a person was bleeding. So the Menchas Chinuch raises the possibility maybe only Rosh HaVeruba of the Mace. Maybe the Dam that comes out and the Eva that's detached, maybe there's no Mitzvah Kvura on that, only on the whole thing that's called the Mace.
What if the head's detached?
What if the head is detached? Would the Menchal Sinah say you don't need Kvura on the head? Probably not. Rosho or Rubo. Rosho is considered like the whole goof. A Rubo of the goof. Mestame, he would agree that you need Kvura on the Rosho. Yeah.
Is there any
other
for a Mason that the body should be shalit in any event?
The meaning is that if an Eva was detached mechayim, so you bury it somewhere, and then when the person ultimately dies years later, at the age of 120, so you take that organ that was buried wherever, and you move it back to where the rest of the body is. Some people even have such a practice on teeth. When the dentist pulls a tooth, or when the tooth falls out, so they'll save the teeth until after they die, then they bury all the teeth with them. That's a little bit of a joke. But the Achrenim have... But the dentist will tell you that there are people who insist on that. And the Achrayim mentioned that minute, that a person had an aver amputated should save that aver until he dies, and then they should bury it all together.
The Kedusha Beit HaMikdash stems from the Luchot, and the Kedusha Beit HaKnesset stems from the Torah, and we also said that since the Torah contains the Luchot within it, then it has more Kedusha.
So the Shul should have more Kedusha than the Beit HaMikdash. It's a good question. Mr. Tamid is a good answer. Okay, yeah. Mr. Tamid is a better answer than that, too. Okay. The Baruch Shalom is going to be Mashu Shechinasa over there, yeah. You hear when Avraham Avinu is negotiating, they offered him that they'll let him. B'mivcha k'vayin k'vayis meisecho. So he's negotiating, so he says, Ger v'toshav anochi imochem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Ger v'toshav is a contradiction in terms. Ger means I'm a stranger. And Tosha means that I'm a citizen over here. So Rav Soloveitchik has a famous drosha that he said many times. It wasn't his. He said it over from Darshanim in Europe, but he became famous when he had when the Catholic Church was interested in a meeting with the representatives of the Jewish religion. So Rav Soloveitchik said, we'll meet with them, but only speak about social issues, and fighting poverty and fighting diseases and other things. We're not going to talk about theological issues. So part of that drasha, that's his famous drasha, that's called Confrontation, when it was printed in English. So in that drasha, he repeated this drasha that he had said many times previously, that the Jewish nation float around in this world, that we are a ger and a toshav at the same time. In a certain sense, we have nothing to do with the Umas Olam. We have a totally different religion, totally different perspective on our life. Everything is different. That's why we have to. We lead a different life, and we live differently. We die differently. We bury differently. Everything is different. In another sense, we are a toshav. We work together with all of humanity to work on economic issues and social issues and medical issues, sicknesses, and so on. The Jews help fight the cancer and fight all the diseases and so on. You have to know to what extent that's the whole balance. You have to know to what extent do we go along with the Umas Olam and to what extent are we separate from them. That's what Yeshiva University is. It's a Yeshiva Mitai University. So it's an Ager and a Toshav at the same time. You have to make sure that you have the right balance. That's always the question, question of balance. To what extent should we emphasize universalism? To what extent should we emphasize the fact that the Jewish nation is particular and separate and different? We are the Ama Nifra. We're totally different from the Umas Olam. There was a time when Rav Soloveitchik was already in yeshiva for years. He was already an old man. So they wanted him to move to France to become the chief rabbi of France. They told him he's not interested. He has more covered here in the yeshiva than going to France. So they were presenting the whole offer to him. So they were telling him different things, that they have an organ in the shul. So he said they should take out the organ. So they listened to him. They had non-Jews play the organ on Shabbos, I think. So he said, it's not right, they should take out the organ. So they listened, even though he didn't go. And then they were telling him the story that when one of the Rothschilds passed away, he wasn't, I don't think he was Hashem Shabbos. The original Rothschilds were extremely observant Jews, but not all of their descendants, some of them now intermarried, a lot of them intermarried. So one of them passed away, he wasn't religious at all, so he left instructions, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So de Gaulle was the premier of, prime minister of France at that time. So he was so angry, so he said, what do you mean? The man was born in France, he was educated in France, he made all of his money in France, he lived in France, he died in France, he's going to be buried in France. We're not going to let him be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But the guy, the family knew that the Jews are rooted in Eretz Yisrael. He had the sense that he's Jewish. He's not, even though he wasn't the Shomer Mitzvos, he had the sense, no, he's Jewish, he has to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So this was right at the time of, I think, the Six-Day War or something. I already forgot exactly the date. So they were unscheduled El Al flights. I think picking up soldiers to take them to the war. So they smuggled the guy's body on the plane against the dictates of the prime minister. Prime minister probably has no right. What does he have a right to tell me where I want to be buried? So they didn't listen to him. They buried him in Eretz Yisrael. But it was fascinating. Rav Soloveitchik said, you have in Nehemiah, the beginning of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is the butler to the king, and he comes in, he serves breakfast in bed to the king Artaxerxes, and he's sad, and Artaxerxes says, what he's so sad about? So he says, we just got a message, we just got a letter from Eretz Yisrael about how sad the situation is, and he speaks about Mokum Kivros Aviseinu, the place where our forefathers are buried is in a state of shambles, and it's terrible, and it's all desecrated, we have to rebuild it. Where your forefathers are buried is a place of attraction. People realize that that's where they belong. That's what... Even the Rothschild, who wasn't the Shomer Shabbos, who wasn't the Shomer Mitzvos, he realized that was the way he identified with the Jewish people. Has to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. No, we should do that also. We should live in Eretz Yisrael. We should keep the mitzvahs. The way to identify with the Jewish people is by keeping the mitzvahs. Then after this whole, this is one of the 10 nisyonis of Avraham Avinu, as a nisyonis in Snas Avraham Avinu, one was that he had to negotiate till he bought the Moras HaMachpelah. The Rabban Shalom told him the whole land is yours, then he had to pay a fortune to get the Makam Kvura. So then the Torah says about arranging the Shidduch for his son Yitzchak. So he makes Eliezer take a Shvur b'nikitas Chefetz. Simna yotcha tachas yirechi, mazeh tachas yirechi. So the Gemara says the only mitzvah that he had over and above the Shem and Mitzvah v'nerech was the mitzvah bris milah. So he wanted that Eliezer should take a shvur b'nikitas chefetz. What's the significance of a shvur b'nikitas chefetz? Obviously, it makes the shvur more serious. So that's what the Gemara says. Whenever there's a din of shvur sadayonim, whatever someone is a moedim a mikzas, a shvuas eid echod, a shvuas Hashem, whenever the Torah requires that a person should take a shvua, so the bezin should see to it that the shvua should be as serious as possible. So the halacha requires it should be a shvua benikitas chayfet. The person is swearing has to hold on to a sefer Torah. It doesn't have to hold on to the sefer Torah like this. He can put his hand on a sefer Torah. He swear on a Bible. That's where the minute comes from. You put your hand on a Bible and you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. In Din, it says that an aid doesn't have to swear that he's telling the truth. A baldin sometimes has to swear. If he's a moedim mikzas, a shvua seidechot, a baldin has to swear. An aid never has to swear that he's telling the truth. In fact, Tosfos has a hachocha from a Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, that an aid who needs a shvua, if the aid is a negeah, be edusa, is possible, but if I'll take a shvua, that'll remove the negeah, make a mois negeah, a case in the Gemara. So Tosfos is mechadish based on the Gemara. An aid who needs a shvua in order to be able to testify is not a kosher aid. There is no such din. Halacha never requires that aidim should swear. But nonetheless, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Rif lived in North Africa, and the bezin of the Rif, the practice was that whenever Adam came, he would have them put their hand on a Sefer Torah and swear. So that's where the Goyim got it from. They have the witnesses swear to tell the truth. So Avram Avinu has him swear ben Akitas Chayfetz. So the Gemara says, what's an Akitas Chayfetz? So more correct is to have a Sefer Torah. A person should put his hand on a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, if the person is swearing as a Talmid Chacham, he can even swear on a pair of tefillin. Because Talmid Chachamim know that the tefillin is also very important. Nadi Behuda has a famous tshuva where he writes the Jews would a lot of times get involved in a court case with the non-Jews, and then the judge would say in the Goyish courts, the judge would say if the Jew swears on a Bible, so he'll be believed and he'll be potter. So they were lying, so they would take a puzzle of Sefer Torah to swear on. So Nadi Behuda says the halacha doesn't make a difference. The shvua sheker is the zelba avera, whether it's the kosher sefer Torah, apostle sefer Torah. And what the chilul Hashem is, that they would swear la sheker, they would get caught later on telling a lie. So then they would say, well, we swore on apostle sefer Torah. So what? It's swearing apostle sefer Torah is also a shvua sheker. There's a ran in the Dorim. The Gemara talks about the hafora, hatora. The Chumash talks about the husband has the right to be meif in the Dorim. And the Torah Shebaal Peh has a tradition that the Bezdin has the ability to be matan adorim, afar hator. So the Ran quotes a Tshuvas HaGoinim that one who swears, not a Shuvas HaDayan, one who swears on his own, he's not going to eat potato chips. And he swear holding on to a Sefer Torah, he swore b'nikitas chayfetz. A shvua b'nikitas chayfetz is a shvura hachi chamura. It doesn't lend itself lo lahatorah v'lo lahafor. The Ran disagrees with the whole thing. He says there ain't no such din, there's no such gemara. They made up from thin air. But where they get the idea from, they understood that that's what the Chazal, that's what the Tanaim are learning out from the Pasuk. Sim neyot chatachas yirechi means that a shvua benikitas chayfetz is the highest form of a shvua. It's a different chefta of a shvua. And the psukim that speak about hafara and the mishnais that talk about hatara, that's only by normal shvua, by normal neder or shvua. But if it's this higher level of shvua, shvua benikitas chayfetz, ein lahatara bein lahafara. So the Ran says we don't accept it. But then the Goinim that he's quoting in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they have a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush. They talk about a person who swears Baseres HaDibros. Panda used to have a piece of parchment that had Baseres HaDibros written on it. So we know Shvua B'Nikitas Chayfetz means you hold on to a Sefer Torah, you hold on to a pair of tefillin. So the Goinim talk about a person holding on to an Baseres HaDibros. So we know Aseres HaDibros is the Rabbanu Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu. Aseres HaDibros is the Luchas. That was once in the history of the world. But someone writes on a piece of parchment today, Aseres HaDibros has a special status. If he'll write just Parshas Chayisora, it'll also be on Nikitas Chayfetz. They only say if he holds on to an Aseres HaDibros. So they sound as if they're assuming that an Aseres HaDibros that you write also has a special status. You have a right to write Aseres HaDibros. And has a special status. The Pashtus is not like that assumption. Pashtus is only the Luchas HaBris have a special status. Otherwise, if you write Aseres HaDibros, it's meaningless.
There was a big focus while you're reading in the Torah Aseres HaDibros, should not have the minhag to stand up, wherever is sitting. So I know that by Sfaradim we have the custom. The Poskim always warned us not to, meaning they give aliyah to the rabbi or someone, in order for the Kal not to stand Aseres HaDibros. But it could be it was a machlekes that Aseres HaDibros could have been. Some people, whoever is sitting, have the minhag to, before the Ramah, to stand up during a Seres HaDibros in Kriyas HaTorah in terms of Hashivas.
Right. The Rambam and the Tshuva says it's not right to show more respect for the Seres HaDibros. You shouldn't stand up specially. The Rambam is opposed, and he quotes the Gemara in Brochus that in the Beis Hamikdash every day after davening Shachris they would recite Aseres HaDibros, and then they were considering instituting this Chutz LeBeis Hamikdash also all over the world. A lot of Sidurim they have printed Aseres HaDibros that privately people want to recite Parshas Hamon and Parshas the Sheish Zechiris and Aseres HaDibros. So the Gemara says in the end of the first paragraph in Brochus they were considering instituting reciting Aseres HaDibros B'tzibur, and the Rabbanim were opposed to it. B'mpnei Tarumas Aminim. What's Tarumas Aminim? So Rashi explains over there, there are those apikursim who only believe Aseres HaDibros is given in Hashemayim, and the rest of the Torah is made up by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why it's not proper to give any more Hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros than anything else. One of the Hungarian Rabbanim wrote in his Chubas, the collection that you gave me, Churashai, he writes in his Chuvis that all the shuls that have Aseres HaDibros on the Paroiches, this is from the Reform, this is from the Neologan, they started that. He claims that in earlier generations they never had it. People say it's not true. They have Paroiches in from centuries ago, before the Reform movement began. All the Paroiches have, a lot of them have Aseres HaDibros on it. They have in countries in Europe and in Italy, they have in Eretz Yisrael, the old Aronis HaKodesh from centuries ago before the beginning of the Reform movement. But that's why the Rambam writes in the Shuvah, it's not proper to show any special Hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros more so than anything else. But here's a Shaila, if you write the text of the Aseres HaDibros, does that have a special status? The Aseres HaDibros that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu has a special status, that's Luchas HaBris. But if I write a parsha, if I write Parshas Chayisora, it doesn't have any special significance. It's part of Sefer Bereishis. It's an incomplete section of Sefer. If you write a mezuzah, that's the din. If you write tefillah, that's the din. It has a status of Torah Shebichsavin, even though it's not a Sefer Shalom. But if you write a Aseres HaDibros, the pashtus is that it's a miktsas from a Sefer, and it doesn't have any special status. And the Gaonim think not so. It's a big chiddush. So Avraham Avinu has his Eliezer, Eved Avraham, he has Mesweir B'Shvur Menekitas Chayfetz. He's not going to let his son marry one of the Benois Kanan Asher Anochi Yoshe B'Kirba, Kiyim Alaytzev El Malarik T'Telech, V'Lokach T'Yisha Livni L'Yitzchak. Why did he insist that has to have a girl Dafka from El Arzev El Malarik T'Telech? Why? A lot of families, the boy wants to marry a girl... The boy is a Galiciana and the girl is an Ungarisha, the parents will go berserk. What do you mean? Marry an Ungarisha, marry a Yeke. How come it's ridiculous? So what's Avraham Avinu so makbid about? And he had a Nefesh Asherosa Bechoron. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Lech Lecha, the Rambam says that he had a Lof Merevavis. He had tens of thousands of people whom he was Mashpia on. That they became Bali Tshuva, they believed in monotheism, and they went along with him, and they all observed Bris Milah. So many followers in Yitzchak and Yank, they had so many followers. So why did he think that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Al Tehaim are better than the Bali Tshuva that he has? Very strange. So that's what there's a famous comment from the Drosha Saran. The Ran assumes in his Drosha, that's by the regular Ran on the Rif. So he assumes in his Drosha that just like there are certain physical diseases that are transmitted genetically, so there are certain midas that are genetic. So he thinks that Avraham Avinu's family were fine Bali midas. They happened to be Obdei Avodah Zarah. They had no emunah. Their hashkafa was distorted. But they had midas that were genetically transmitted to their descendants. And all of the Bali Tshuva that he had, the Alof Merivava, is... they had proper hashkofas, but genetically the midas were awful. So that's why Avraham Avinu felt it's better to take a girl for my son who has genes of midas tovus, and hashkofa will straighten out. We'll explain to the girl what the proper hashkofa is. We believe in God and monotheism, and so on. We'll be able to explain it to them. But to take one of the Balei Tshuva that he influenced, Hanefesh Ashuras Bechoron, who have genetically bad midas, he didn't want to have that. An interesting suggestion. Yeah, what are you supposed to look for on a shidduch? I don't know. The boys don't know what they're supposed to look for. They're looking for movie stars. The main thing you have to look for, balabasta. whether the girl knows how to cook and bake, whether she knows how to raise a baby, how to raise children. People live in a world of chalomis. They don't know what they're supposed to look at. You're looking for a wife, you're not looking for a chavrusa. You're looking for a chavrusa you have in the yeshiva. So important in a shidduch is what Eliezer Eved Avram have to look for a girl who has midas tayus, who's not a tough personality. You have to get someone who's a balas chesed. If you're going to have a tough personality, the wife is always going to be ruling in the house, and she'll always be balabataving, she'll always call all the shots. Husband won't have any input. You have to be able to make a pshara. All of the married life is a pshara between the husband and the wife. Not a pshara on religious observance, a pshara on dvarim shel mabekach, pshara on what to eat for supper, fleishiks and milchiks, which wedding to attend, which wedding not to attend. You're going to have a wife, she's going to be so tough, she's going to insist on everything, the husband won't have any day at all. So that's terrible. You have to have an equal day. You have to be able to work together on everything. The Gemara says that some of the Amoraim, when they got married, they made an agreement with their wives that in all mili de'alma, the wife should have the final say, and all mili de'shmai, the husband should have the final say. So they tell a story about Rabbi Saul Salanta, that he was married for over 40 years, and he says he made such an agreement with his wife when they first got married, and he was surprised all the 45 years of marriage, no mili de'alma ever came up. Everything was mili de'shmai. Mustama, they had no money to buy any new furniture. There was nothing to discuss. No drapes, no carpets, nothing to discuss. What are they going to discuss? Fleishiks and milchiks for supper. No one had fleishiks for supper. They were happy if they had fleishiks for Shabbos. That chicken for Shabbos. Nothing to discuss. Everything was just mili d'shmai. Okay. But that's what the Chumash tells us, that the eager thing that Eliezer was testing the girl to see if it's a good shidduch for Yitzchak is to see if she's a balas midas. See if she has midas tayvus. Good looks is also a mila, but that's sheker achein vehevel ayoyf isha yiras Hashem hitisalol. So several of the mafarshim say sheker achein vehevel ayoyf. If it's just good looks, you have a girl who's good looking, but she doesn't have midas tayvus. Isha yiras Hashem hitisalol bechein veayoyf. If the girl has midas tayvus, she has yiras shamayim, then it's an added praise hitisalol bechein veayoyf. The good looks is also important. That's in addition to the Yiras Hashem, in addition to being a balabas, in addition to knowing how to raise children, in addition to being neat. A lot of the girls are so used to living in dormitories for so many years, so the whole apartment is sloppy. They don't know how to maintain a neat house. So that's what you want. You want to marry a slob, and your house is going to be sloppy like your dormitory room. You want to have a neat house. When you graduate the dormitory, so shines, and no more slopping. Then you want to have a neat house. You want to know how to find something in the house. Not everything should be thrown all over the whole house. The good looks is also important. The Chumash says that Sora was good looking and Rivka was good looking. So the commentaries say, the Chumash tells us that that's also an important consideration. Rabbi Hirsch has a famous comment on the Pasuk that after Eliezer brings Rivka back there, it's Yisrael by Yeheha, and then Yitzchak meets Rivka, and they're living together. Vaisapu Eved li Yitzchak is called Dharma Sherasa right before Shishi. It says, Vayeheha Yitzchak ha'ohel ha'sorim ha'vikechas Rivka ha'tilo li'isha, and then Vayeheha ve'inochem Yitzchak ha'chra'ima. He really fell in love with her more after he got married. Today, as if it's crazy that people think they have to get madly in love before they propose, and then everything after that goes downhill. Then the love keeps on diminishing. He goes to marry a girl who seems to be a balabastin, midas tayvus, and yerushamayim, and proper hashkofa, and then afterwards the love will grow as the years go by. The love will grow for each other. He'll get to know the girl better, so he'll love her more. That's how Yitzchak did. Rashi comments, when Yitzchak brought Rivka to his mother's tent, so he saw all of the wonderful milas that used to be by the mother, Baruchah Mitzuyah Be'isa on and Kosher ala Ohel. Everything was like a Mokam Ashuas Hashchina. By the Ovis, their home was like a Mokam Ashuas Hashchina. So he saw his wife had Yerushamayim. So when he saw that she had Yerushamayim, then by Yehovah, then his love for her grew more. You don't have to think when you want to, when you're thinking of proposing to the girl, I don't think you have to think that the bells have to ring and the stars have to fly down from heaven. If the girl seems to have Yirah Shamayim and Midas Tavis, shine, say you marry the girl. It doesn't have to be like in the movies. Movies don't necessarily correspond to reality at all. When Rivka was about to leave, so her family gave her a blessing. Achaseinu atayili alfei revavo. You should have a lot of children. It doesn't mean that she's going to have tens of thousands of children. That's physically impossible. It means that you should have a lot of, you should have a lot of children. Your descendants should multiply, and ultimately, the Jewish people should have many, many children. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says that that's the minig when the chosen goes to the badekin. The rabbanim should give the bracha. Achaseinu atayili alfei revavo. They should recite this bracha. What is the Badekin all about? So in Shulchan Aruch they have different explanations. What is the Badekin also? Some say the Badekin is based on the Pasuk and today's Sedra, that when Rivka was traveling back there, it's Israel, and she sees Yitzchak from a distance, as Vayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basod Lifnes Orev, Batisa Rivka Sena Vateris Yitzchak, she sees him. So she realizes, she asks, who's that? And Eliezer says, that's your husband, little girly, that's your husband. So she mitam tzniyos, she covers her face. She took a tichel and she covered her face. So that's, some say that that's the reason for the badekin. Right before you march down the aisle, the kala should cover her face, or the chosen should cover her face. Others say, no, it's not stam mitam tzniyos, based on the pasuk. Others in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the opinion of the Mordechai in the first Perek in Ksubis, that the Badekin is the Nisuin. What is Kiddushin? Kiddushin and Nisuin are two different stages in the marriage. So Kiddushin is either B'Kesef or B'Shtar or B'Biya. And B'Biya the Chachamim prohibited. The Gemara says, Rab Mangan Amanda Mekadosh B'Biya. If a man is Mekadosh B'Biya, B'Zman Hazeh, we give him Makas Mardis. He just left B'Kesef or Shtar. Then the Rambam says, our minig is that we choose to do Kiddushin Kesef. We don't do Kiddush Ishtar. So how do you do Kiddush in everything that we know? You do Ayidei Kesef, or Ayidei Shtar if you want to. And our meaning is, we do Ayidei Kesef. How do you do Nisuin? So that's never explicit in the Gemara. Very unclear. So that's what Kiddush in Masechus Kiddush is about Kiddush. Masechus Ksubis is about Nisuin. Kiddush in the woman is an Eshus Ish, Elove Beis HaBal. Nisuin, the woman is now an Eshus Ish, Beis HaBal. When we say Beis HaZuishto, that refers to an Eshus Ish who has Nisuin already. So how exactly do they do Nisuin? So the Ran on the Rif, on the first daf in Ksubas, quotes the different opinions. So the Mordechai is of the opinion. The Mordechai quotes the opinion of the Baal HaTosfos, when the Chosen does the Badekin, not that she be Atikach HaSoif HaTiskot, she should Badek herself. The Chosen has to do the Badekin, and no one should help him. The Badekin is the Maisa Nisuin. That's an opinion that the Ran quotes. Yeah, our practice is we have the Chosen do the Badekin before he gives the ring. So does that make sense? How can you do the Nisuin before you do the Erisin? So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch refer you to the Mishnah Melech, who has such a discussion. What if you did Nisuin before Erisin? Do you have to repeat the Nisuin after? When you do Nisuin before Erisin, nothing took effect. They're not married yet, they're just engaged. So if you do a Badekin before, nothing happened. But there is the opinion of the Mordechai that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that once you do the Kiddushin later, normally when the girl is a Pnuya, and then when you do Kiddushin, she becomes an Arusa. Then you have to do Nisuin to convert the Arusa into a Nisua. So the Mishnah Melech quotes a Mordechai B'Shem Tshuvas Rashi. If you did Nisuin, an act of Nisuin prior to the Erisin, so when she's still a Pnuya, when you do the Erisin, she switches, she jumps two steps at once. She goes from a Pnuya to a Nisua. Normally, she switches from a Pnuya to an Arusa, and then you do the Nisuin, so she converts from an Arusa to a Nisua. And according to this Tshuvas Rashi quoted by the Mordechai, you can do Nisuin before Erisin. It won't affect any change right now. But if later on you'll do the Erisin, so she'll jump two steps at once, she'll go from a Pnuya to become a Nisua. So this is one opinion, the Mordechai, that the Badekin is the Nisuin. Where is that? I said the Mordechai is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. I remember many years ago I gave a shir in Yeshiva Takotel, many years ago. I gave Shin Yeshiva Takotel, and I was saying that they were starting Ksubas. I mentioned Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai that Badekin is the Nisuin. So I think over 15 years went by, and I met someone in Yeshiva Tagolan. The guy asked me, 15 years ago, he heard me give a shiur in Yeshiva Tagolan. Where is that Mordechai? He's been looking high and low. He was looking at Ebenezer. It's not there in Ebenezer. It's at the end of Yerideya, in Hilchas Avelus. When they talk about the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvis, Meis Aviv Shalchas and Im Shalkala, what do you do? So the Taz quotes the Mordechai over there, that Badekin is the Nisun. So according to that opinion, Badekin is the Nisun. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to insist, that usually the mother of the Kala stands behind the Kala. She helps the Chosin cover over the Kala's head with the veil, because the Chosin doesn't know what he's doing. Rav Soloveitchik always used to insist, no, the mother shouldn't help out, because you can't have a Shliach for Nisun. Some have a practice in some countries in Europe. The Dogam Levava writes on Hilchas Avelus, on that Taz, the end of Yeridei, Echel Gimel. So he says in some countries in Europe, they used to have a practice, the Chosin doesn't do the Badekin, the Rabbanim do the Badekin. In some families, the Chosin doesn't even go to the Badekin. The Chosin sits and he's talking by the Chosin's teaching, the Rabbanim go and they do the Badekin. Some Hasidish families still have such a practice. The Chosin doesn't go to the Badekin at all. So the Dogam Levava says, what's that all about? According to the Mordechai, Badekin is the Nisuin. So he says, it's self-understood that the Chosin has appointed the Rabbanim as a shlich to do the Badekin for him. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik used to feel that that's not right. That you can't appoint a shlich to do Nisuin for you. To do Kiddushin, that's a Maisi Kinyan, Huisha Niknes. So the Gemara says, you can appoint a shlich to do Kiddushin. You can appoint a shlich to give a get. You can appoint a shlich to be Machish Shumas and Maisus. But to appoint a shlich to do Nisuin, Nisuin is a hachnosa l'rishuso. So if he's not there, how can you appoint a shlich? So he thought that it's not right. He thought, milsa de leisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tanai. Whenever you need das, you can make a shlich. Whenever you don't need das, you can't make a shlich. So he had hoichocha, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik had hoichocha from a rabbeinu nisim goin and Tosfos and Kiddushin, that Nisuin does need das. Other Rishonim also like Nisuin does need das. Just an act of hachnosa l'rishuso. So if it does need das, he can't appoint a shliach. So he used to insist that the chosin has to do the whole badekin on his own. That's a question. You need edus l'kiyum hadavar by the kiddushin. Is it required to have edus l'kiyum hadavar by the nisuin as well? Do you really need edus yichud? See, the Rambam's opinion is, the Ran on the first Mishnah in Ksubas quotes, the Rambam's opinion is that what is nisuin? So the Rambam says, either bia l'shem nisuin, or yichud haroi l'biya. So then the question, so we're machmet to satisfy that Rambam's opinion. After we recite the Birchus Nisuin under the canopy, so we assume really standing under the canopy constitutes the Nisuin. That's also a question, why? Why standing under the canopy? Why is that the Nisuin? So there are two versions of what that's all about. So some are of the opinion that the canopy is made from cloth, has to be made from cloth, and that's really a fulfillment of the pasuk of Farasta Kanafecha ala Masecha and Megillas Rus. And you have in Parshas Mishpatim also, it says Bevigdei bo liam nochi leim shemocha Bevigdei bo. So the Gemara understands Bevigdei miloshin beged kimish piris taliso aleho. So the Gemara calls piris taliso aleho as an expression for nisuin. So the way they used to do nisuin years ago, and that's how by the Svardim and by the Yekus, they still do like that. They put a talis over the chos and the kala together, and that is the Nisuin. So sometimes the girl didn't go to mikveh. So how can you put a talus over the heads that's standing together? So that's why you put a canopy on top, and the canopy is made from cloth. That's a bechina of harasta kanafecha ala masecha. And others are of the opinion, not at all. You don't need any cloth at all. You can have four poles with four tzuras ha-pesach. You don't need anything on top. And the idea is that the four poles constitute a tzuras ha-pesach, like we would call in Yiddish an erev be allowed to carry this. Consider as if you have mechitzis, as if the chosin brought the kala into his rishus, as if the rest of the hall where all the guests are standing, that's one rishus, and as if he took the girl into a private room on the side, he did a hachnosa lirishuso, because that's the main difference between an arusa and an nesua. Arusa is an eshusish shelo bebeis habal, as an nesua is an eshusish bebeis habal. So nisuin, by definition, means hachnosa l'rishuso. So that's what some poskim say, that the canopy is supposed to be constructed in such a way that it should correspond to a tzuras ha-pesach. Very often you have, years ago they used to have a square shape, a rectangular shape of a piece of cloth that had four metal rings in the corners, and then you would have four poles to hold up the rings. There'll be nothing going from one pole to the other, just the cloth was a half an inch away from the poles. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, they have in Eben Ezra, they have a commentary printed on the page by the Bechotcher Rav that's called Eza Mikodesh. On Eben Ezra, he's called Eza Mikodesh. The Chesh Mishmet is called Kesef HaKadoshim. Same author. So he writes there, he thinks that Tzuras HaPesach Ben Atzad is no good. When you make a Tzuras HaPesach and Erev for Shabbos purposes, you have to have Kona Mikam, Kona Mikam, Kona Al Gabeim. The Kona on top has to be Al Gabeim. So he says that the way they used to have a lot of times, I remember years ago, that's what every chuppah would be like that. There'd be a rectangular-shaped cloth, sometimes square-shaped cloth. There'd be four circular metal rings in the four corners, and the poles would hold them up. There wouldn't be anything going from the top of one pole to the other. So that's why in Europe, in certain communities, they introduced a practice that they would make four slits in the piece of cloth. They would put the pole into the slits instead of putting the pole into the holes, into the circular rings in the corners. So that would be al gabehim. So the cloth went from on top of one pole to the other. And according to that understanding of what the standing under the canopy is all about, has nothing to do with, but for us, it doesn't have to be cloth. You don't need any cloth on top at all. You can have four strings. You can have four poles with four strings. And it's a tzuras ha-pesach, and that's considered a makom cholok bifnei atzma. So there are different understandings of what is nisuin. So the Magen Avraham says that we are machmeh for the Rambam. So right after the Bichas Nisuin under the Chuppah, they go to the Yichud room, because according to the Rambam, everything he did so far was not Nisuin. Standing under the canopy is meaningless, and the Badekan was meaningless, and according to the Rambam, we need Davke Yichud. And the Bracha should be recited in connection with the Yichud. So that's why the Magen Avraham says, what's it doing in the Magen Avraham? Magen Avraham is a commentary on Arachaim. So the Magen Avraham says that when you say Shahakal Nibidvar, you shouldn't talk in between the Bracha and drinking the coffee. You shouldn't have hefzik in between Bichas Anen and the Hanor. And the same thing, Bichas HaMitzvah, you say Bracha Al Natilas Lulav, you shouldn't talk. So he says, here it's not actually a Bichas HaMitzvah, you say the Sheva Bracha is the Bichas Nisuin, but still the Bichas Nisuin should be recited in conjunction with the Nisuin. So according to the Rambam, the Nisuin is the Yichud, so the Magen Avraham says they should, he quotes from the Tshuvas of Belgium Mizrahi, they should go quickly, right after the Chuppah, they should go to the Yichud room. And that's how it says in the Maharil also, Miritzim, Esachosim, Esachala, Lecheda HaYichud. You should rush them from the Chuppah to the Cheda HaYichud, so there shouldn't be too much of a pause in between the Sheva Brachas, which are the Brachas Nisuin, and the Yichud, which according to the Rambam, is the Nisuin. Mikradin, we really don't hold like the Rambam. Otherwise, we would have said the Bichas Nisun right before standing in front of the Yichud room. We really hold standing under the canopy. But we want to satisfy the Rambam's opinion as well. And this also, we really don't hold like this Mordechai, that the Badekin is the Nisun. But we do it L'chumra. We really hold the Badekin is Mishum Tznias, Batikach Hatzoyif Atiskos. But the Yesa says, so we tell the Chosen, have in mind when you do the Badekin, that should be the Nisun. So that's a shaila. If we're machmeh for the Rambam that the Yichud is the Nisuin, do you need 80 Yichud or not? So that's a deal, and the Or Sameach and others discuss it. The Marcheshes discusses it. There is a need for Eidus Lekim Adover on Kiddushin. Is there a din of Eidus Lekim Adover on Nisuin also? So the common practice is that you do that. Common practice is that you have 80 Yichud, but many hold that there is no such din. So that's in Shaila. If you're machma to have Eidim Yichud, so maybe you should be machma also to have Eidim by the Badekin. Because you hold the Badekin is Nisuin. So just like you're machma to have Eidim by the Yichud, you should be machma to have Eidim by the Badekin. So sometimes Rav Soloveitchik would do that. He would have the Chosen pick out two Eidim to serve as the Eidim Lekiyam Adover on the Nisuin, which was the Badekin. Yeah.
So
kind of
the
Machloekes
or Chaim talks about whether by Yibu you need the
right.
That happens automatically.
Or right, right. That's the question. What's the nature of the din of Eid Yichud? How do you decide whether the chuppah, whether the Nisuin needs Eidim Lekim Adover or not? Depends on what's the nature of the din of Eidus Lekim Adover, right? Rav Chaim has a discussion in the Sefer. Yeah, the Pasuk says that when Rivka first saw Yitzchak, he was davening. That's how the Gemara understands. By Yetzer Yitzchak, Lasuach Basodeh. Then, Batisa Rivka say no, but Teres Yitzchak, she saw him davening. She was very taken by the way he davened.
So the Gemara says Avram Avinu instituted Shachris and Yitzchak instituted Mincha. By Yetzi Yitzchak Valsilch Vasada lift Nasarev towards the evening, late in the afternoon. He didn't daven Mincha in the morning, he daven Shachris in the morning. This was lift Nasarev, so he daven Mincha. The Gemara in Yuma talks about the fact that Avram Avinu daven Mincha. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? By Yitzchak instituted Mincha. What's Avram Avinu davening Mincha? He lived in the wrong generation. So Tosfos says, no. After Yitzchak instituted Mincha, so Avraham Avinu was still alive at the time, so he would also daven Mincha. Why not? Good idea. He followed the takan of Yitzchak to daven Mincha also. Yeah, it's okay. There's no halacha that he brings the girl into his rishus. You can have other people there too, but he was machnas the girl into his rishus l'shem nisun. The Gemara is beferish that you don't have to own the rishus. They quote that in recent years, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin came up with such a chumra that the chosen has to be koine the yichud room. It's against the Gemara. The pashtus Gemara beferish not so. The Gemara says, if the couple had erisin and then they want to do nisuin, so if they went into his apartment, we assume it was l'shem nisuin. If they went into her apartment, so it's only assumed to be l'shem nisuin if they said so. But b'stama, it's not assumed to be. But you see, b'ferish, if they went into her apartment, they had yichud to her apartment, and they said that it's l'shem nisuin, so it becomes nisuin. So you see, b'ferish, the room doesn't have to belong to the chas. It's called hachnasa l'vishusa, even though the room does not belong to him. I used to sit in shul over here next to a balabas. Whose parents lived in Berlin. He said his parents were Litvisha, and they had a business, and they were traveling from Lithuania to South Africa for business. And the First World War broke out, and they got stuck in Berlin. So they stayed in Berlin, and then he lived there till the Second World War broke out, and he ran away to America. So when the Sridhar Yesh came from Slobodka, when he came from Eastern Europe to Berlin, to the Hildesheim Seminary, so he left his wife behind. He divorced his wife, he left her behind, and he was there all by himself. So he used to eat, the Sridhar Yesh used to eat by this fellow's parents, because his father was friendly with him from the Litvashi Yeshivas, from Slobodka. His father was friendly with all the Rabbani from the Litta, so when he used to come to Germany for medical treatment, so his father would always go visit everybody, take him along. This Balabas used to tell me stories. So he says when the Sridhar Yesh ate by him, so on Shabbos he would tell over Vertlach on the Parsha. So after a couple of weeks, so they encouraged him he should give a public shiur. So every week he gave a public shiur on the Parsha of Shavua. He say over all the Vertlach from the Vilna Goyen and say over additional. See, I remember this stands out in my mind. The pasuk in the end of the Parsha lists off the Shnei Mosim Nisiyim of Yishmael. Shnei Mos and Nisim Leuma Isam. So when listing off the 12 Nisim, Elishmos Bnei Yishmael Bishmos and Lusol Doisam. So it says a Mishma Veduma Umasa. So this Balabas tells me he remembers hearing from Rabbi Chiel Weinberg, Bianca Chiel Weinberg, that in the preamble to the Koran, I'm not familiar. He said in preamble to the Koran, it said that a good Muslim has the obligation, the duty, to pay attention, to listen, and to keep still and listen to the instructions and to carry the burden of observing whatever mitzvahs they have to observe. So he said that that's a translation from this pasuk, Umishma, Veduma, Umasa. That's what he said, that the Quran got it from this part. Mishma, these are names of three people, but they took it as if Mishma, you have an obligation to listen, pay attention, Duma, and keep still, Veduma, Usela, Umasa, carry on the burden. Someone told me there must be some professor here who knows the Quran, I don't know. Okay, the Haftarah. The Haftarah ends off. Bathsheba gives a blessing. Yichi Adoni HaMelech David Li'olam. What do you mean? He was already an old man. He died at the age of 70. What do you mean he should live on forever? What kind of a lashon is that? So it doesn't mean that he should live on forever. She means that the Malchus Beis David should live on forever. What did he do? What did David HaMelech do that the Malchus Beis David should live on forever? So that's what they made him aware, they made David HaMelech aware that they didn't want to have Shlomo HaMelech, they didn't want to have his son Shlomo take over the Malchus. And the Psukim in different places in Tanakh seem to imply that the Malchus Beis David would only last on forever if it would go to Shlomo HaMelech. If it would go to any one of the other sons, it wouldn't last on forever. So they made David Melech aware of that, and so he says, okay, go say that I'm appointing Shlomo to take over after I die. Then she says, oh, Malchus Beis David will continue on forever. Yichi Adoni HaMelech David Le'olam. That was what she said. Her name was Bathsheva, was the wife of David HaMelech. The Gemara says he had 18 wives already, and the 18 wives were also older women. And he needed a younger girl to keep his body warm. So the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, he wanted to divorce one of the wives and to marry a younger girl to keep his body warm. So no one agreed to accept the get. Who wants to give up being the queen? He had 18 wives. Not allowed to have more. Not allowed more than 18 wives. So the Gemara says, Hitiralo. So what's the din? When you have a chayla, sheyesh b'sakana, you have to do some avera or another. So which avera should you do? So the Gemara says, Machil mosa hakala kal tchila. The Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma, if the person has to eat either nevela or he has to eat tevel. So tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. Nevela is just a lav. So let him eat the nevela, let him not eat the tevel. Or if you have tevel and you have chelev, so chelev is koris. Koris is worth a misa b'dei shamayim. So let him eat the tevel and let him not eat the chelev and the dam, because that's mochomer. So you have to always determine which is the lesser of the two averas. When you have a situation of pikoch nefesh, machil mosa hakala kal tchila. So the Gemara says here they were faced with a dilemma. David HaMelech was faced with a dilemma. Either he's going to divorce one of the 18 wives against their wishes, a get bal korcha would be chal, then he'd be able to marry a younger girl. Or he's going to have to violate the Issa Yichud. So Yichud Penuya is only an Issa derabbanan. And to be megarish your wife bal korcha, the Ran holds as an Issa deraisa. We know there's a Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom against divorcing a wife. That doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbeinu Gershom was the first one in the history of the world who came up with this idea. Under the chuppah, you promise to love, honor, cherish your wife. So to divorce a Bal Korcha and to marry a young chick, that's certainly an Issa. Ron holds that's an Issa deraisa. How is that called respecting your wife? You committed yourself to this wife, to love her, to honor her, to take care of her. So the Ron is of the opinion, they quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Ron is of the opinion that to divorce your wife is an avera deraisa, it's a violation of kvod ishtoi. But the Rabbeinu Gershom added on, whoever violates it should drop dead. A cherem is a curse that should be nichnas into ramach evorim. The Gemara says cherem in the same osias is ramach. It's a curse that the guy should drop dead. And whoever was put in cherem by the bezin, later he dies, the children don't observe avelas like haruge bezin. And we put a big slab of stone on his oren to demonstrate that he deserved skilo. We consider his death, we attribute his death to the curse that the bezin gave him. So take for example, Shulchan Aruch says, there's a cherem hakadmon sholo lahakos asishtoi. You're not allowed to beat up your wife. So the Goyim came up with that chiddush. Until the days of the Goyim, it was a mitzvah to beat up your wife. So why did they change the mitzvah? No, the answer is it was always an avera. It was always an avera to beat up your wife. But when the Goyim saw that people were violating this avera, so they had to put a cherem, a curse, so that people should observe it. So here also, that's what the Ran holds in the Tshuvas Aran, quoted in the Beis Yosef, that to be Megarish Bal Korcha is an Aver deraisa. The Rabbeinu Gershom just added Acherim. Rabbeinu Gershom said, Acherim, you're not allowed to read someone else's mail. And until the days of Rabbeinu Gershom, was mutter to read someone else's mail. It's like Gemara, Be'edav Hashem and Moshe Leima, Leima Li Yisrael. If the Rabbeinu Shalom wouldn't have given permission to Moshe Rabbeinu to say over the dinim, he would have been prohibited to. Whenever anybody tells me any information, the Halacha says I have to keep it confidential, unless he explicitly gives me permission to tell it over to someone else. So, of course, you're not allowed to read someone else's mail. Everyone is certainly entitled to privacy min haTorah. The Rabbeinu Gershom put a cherem. Whoever does it, whoever violates this issa deraisa, deserves to die. A cherem is a curse that the guy should drop dead. So that's what the Gemara says over here. David HaMelech was faced with a dilemma. Either he's going to have to divorce one of the wives to marry a younger girl to keep himself warm, because it was a sakonas nefoshes, or he'll have to violate an issa yichud. He only had 18 wives, so he'll take a young girl to keep him warm. So the Gemara says, Hitiru lo liyachid, v'lo hitiru lo ligarish. They considered yichud penuya is only an issa derabbanan. And gerishin apparently is a mochamadika, that's an issa deraisa. So they told David HaMelech to violate the lesser of the two averes. Hitiru lo liyachid, v'lo hitiru lo ligarish. There is a discussion in Hilchas Gittin. When a girl's name is Bas Sheva, how do you write it in a ksuba? How do you write it in a get? Whatever the case happens to be. Is Bas Sheva written like Ben Sion? Ben Sheva. But Ben Sion is a bigger shayla. Bas Sheva, is it spelled as one word or as two words? Ben Sion is a bigger question. I have a grandson, Ben Sion. So is it Ben Sion, is it one word, so it's a small nun, or is it Ben Sion two words, so it's a long nun? It's the end of one word, beginning of the next word. So Bas Sheva, there's a Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, this same daf, Hitiru lo liyachud, Hitiru lo ligarish. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech wanted to show Bas Sheva that he's still a strong male. So he was Bo'alewa, the Gemara says, 13 times, one after the other, to show how much koyach he had. But he needed a younger woman to keep him warm. So the Gemara says this based on a pasuk that has 13 words in the pasuk. With the pasuk over here. V'atova b'sheva ha'lamelech ha'chadra ha'melech zokim b'yod v'avisha k'ashenamis m'sharas es ha'melech. So the Gemara says there are 13 words in the pasuk. So the rabbis had a tradition that he was bo'al b'sheva 13 times. So if you count up the words in the pasuk, there are only 13 words if you assume that b'sheva is one word. If you assume b'sheva is two words, if there's a space in between, so then there are 14 words in the pasuk. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Raif and Achrayim, a Raif in this Gemara, the way the Gemara comments on the pasuk, that Basheva is one word. They're not supposed to have an empty space in between. Doesn't necessarily shed light on Ben Sion, could be Ben Sion is not the same as Basheva. Okay, so if you marry a girl by the name of Basheva, you know how to fill out the ksuba. Good. Okay. Yeshua will be served in all the wine cafeteria throughout the year.